if it wasn't a pop closing port. What we need to do as Canadians and people worldwide is to wake up and then stand up. Make your voices heard. Speak truth to power. 9 times out of 10, you get positive remarks because people want to hear the truth.
That's right. Woo!
Shall now vote for approval of H.R. 8791, the Homeland Terrorism Preparedness Bill. Said bill requests emergency response funding up to and including, this section is classified, dollars to prepare for a national level terrorist attack and or attack from classified. Funding for first responder personnel and vehicles would be doubled if said attack leads to more than 80% of national population being affected by classified. This funding shall commence in conjunction with the first attack on classified or the first large-scale outbreak of classified, dependent upon which comes first. Civilian and military units shall be trained in containment and combat of classified, including irradiated classified, with possibility of classified airborne, classified flesh-eating, classified and or all of the above, in such event as classified spewing, classified escape, are released or otherwise become uncontrollable. Air Force units may also be directed to combat said classified due to their enormous size and otherworldly strength. Should event occur in urban areas, Jesus.
CKLN listeners. Sorry for the dead air earlier. It is the 20th day of January 2011. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. It's your host, BK, aka BJ, here on a Thursday, and I'm here on Mondays and Thursdays from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Hopefully you folks enjoyed that little those little clips there. That was to open the show from courtesy of DJ Logitech. That was a sample of March on Ottawa 2008, an event organized by We Are Change Ottawa, by Ottawa 9/11 Truth, by Matthew Buechler and others who worked for those organizations. And over 100 Canadians came from all across the country, from Vancouver in a bus stopping off in various cities across across Canada to share information from the East Coast and from Winnipeg and from the North, and it was an incredible, incredible event. I'll have more on that later on in this show, because one of the things that I'm sort of announcing here on the show is an idea that myself and my buddy Matt in Ottawa thought of, which is a March on Ottawa 2011 on Canada Day. Now, if you folks out there listen to the show for the first time, I do discuss issues of globalization from the esoteric perspective, the anti-New World Order perspective, the anti-Illuminati perspective, since that's being made fashionable now through pop culture and so on. And basically, threats to our health, wealth, and relationships from international institutions that control our countries and manage almost every aspect of our lives, at least the frameworks within which we operate. So, we thought about the idea of doing a March on Ottawa on Canada Day this year, because it's patriotic, and give us some patriotic cover fire, and sharing information with all of our civil servants in Ottawa, in the entire city of Ottawa. We get 1,000 people out there, 1,000 flyers each, million DVDs. That'll cover 1.5 million people in Ottawa, and we can affect policy at the federal level for years to come, if we in fact engage in this on Canada Day of this year before 2012. And so I definitely wanna push for that. Definitely wanna push for that as an option. My website is whatyouwantabelievein.com. MarchOnOttawa.blogspot.com is the planning site for now, and I'll get more into that throughout the show. But before I do, I just want to talk about hope for a second. I want to have the Daily Show's Jon Stewart talking about it with Obama. In this clip from the Daily Show from last October, when Obama made an appearance before the U.S. midterm elections, he talks about, what was expected and what was delivered, and why we have to do more ourselves.
Is the difficulty that you have here the distance between what you ran on and what you delivered? Is that you ran with such, if I may, audacity? You know, so much of what you said was great leaders lead in a time of opportunity. We're the ones we're looking for. Yet legislatively, it has felt timid at times, that I'm not even sure at times what you want out of a health care bill.
And this is, John, I love your show.
Kind of you.
Yeah. But this is something where, I have a profound disagreement with you, and I don't want to lump you in with a lot of other pundits. But this notion... this notion that healthcare was timid, you've got 30 million people who are going to get health insurance as a consequence of this.
Right.
You've got a patient's bill of rights that makes sure that insurance companies can drop you when you get sick if you've been paying premiums, that make sure there aren't lifetime limits, make sure that kids who are... don't have health insurance can stay on their parents' health insurance till they're 26, and cuts to the deficit by over $1 trillion. This is what I think most people would say is as significant a piece of legislation as we've seen in this country's history. And the notion that... What happens is it gets discounted because... the presumption is, well, we didn't get 100% of what we wanted. We got 90% of what we wanted, so let's focus on the 10% we didn't get as opposed to the 90% that we did. And right now there is a woman in New Hampshire who doesn't have to sell her house to get her cancer treatments because of that health care bill. And she doesn't think it's inconsequential. She doesn't think it's timid.
The suggestion was not that it's inconsequential or that it doesn't
the
help.
The suggestion was that it was timid.
Timid.
I'll
tell you what I mean, and you're, and I don't mean to lump you in with other presidents. But I think if I were to try and coalesce, I think whatever criticism of it may be, it's that you ran on the idea that this system needed basic reform. Yeah. It feels like some of the reforms that have passed, like healthcare, have been done in a very political manner that has papered over a foundation that is corrupt.
I think is fair, which is, here's what I think is fair, that over the last 2 years, in an emergency situation, our basic attitude was, we've got to get some things done, mm-hmm. in some cases quickly, that are, in order to do that, basically worked with the process as opposed to transform the process. And there's no doubt that that frustrated folks. Mm-hmm. It frustrates me. Look, I would love not to have a 60-vote requirement, which is not in the Constitution, but is in the Senate rules right now, mm-hmm. that apply to everything we do, so that I can't get a deputy secretary of Treasury in the middle of a financial crisis because somebody's holding it up and is filibustering the appointment. So there are all kinds of things that happened during the course of these 2 years in terms of process that I'd like to see changed. Keep in mind that those areas where we had control over process, we actually made changes. So, you know, we've got a whole bunch of rules about lobbyists interacting with the White House,
right.
that are very different from any White House before. If somebody wants to come to visit the White House, now that list is given out to everybody. That's a change. But
did you just invite me to the White House?
No. Because we'd have to disclose it, and
right.
I don't,
you don't
think
want people
it would actually
that I was over there.
Exactly.
Let me explain more specifically, because I think that's, you know, to say within the system, without the system, you know, in the health care bill, you worked within the system. You know, there was, during the campaign, there was a talk that we were going to be able to negotiate prices with Canadian pharmaceutical right. companies. A deal was made with them, $80 billion over 10 years. Okay, that seems like a quid pro quo that seems reasonable. But there's other things with the insurance companies. You know, I was talking with a woman in the audience before the show. And,
we all the same. We all feel it like y'all feel it. I just can't hold a straight face when I see it.
And that's right, folks. Basically, Obama went on to say that, you know, change you can believe in wasn't necessarily change that you would see in 18 months. And so the spin is there. And Stewart, to his credit on his show, for whatever reason, trying to show he's hardcore with the president, did press him a fair bit in that interview, which I recommend you see at Comedy Central or the Comedy Network here in Canada online. And you can see the little sparring going on between Obama and Stewart. But it's even though the crowd was still totally pro-Obama, it's important for us to understand how hope is raised and then dashed by giant PR campaigns like Obama's, and how we'll feel a lot better if we're not cheering for who the corporate media gives us to cheer for, as is often the case. And so I'm gonna take you to a couple of things here before I get more into March in Ottawa 2011, the Toronto 2012 project, and several other options. But I got to be honest with you. Since October, I kind of hit a bit of a wall, and I was kind of scratching my head trying to figure this out, because you never know what to say. You never know, you know, what can you say to get the movement of enough people on these issues? Do you go too far? Do you not go far enough? There's been tons of Canadian 9/11 truth groups over the years. I'd say about a third of them are now, you know, more or less out of business. Was that because they were only focused on an issue that happened, you know, nearly 10 years ago now, 9.5 years ago? Or is there something else to it? If you talk about certain aspects that people just refuse to believe, will they refuse to co-sign others? You know, if I make a website that talks about health risks, vaccines, fluoride, GMO foods, aspartame, MSG, talks about 9/11 truth and the war on terror, talks about the green agenda, UN Agenda 21, why the kids are all coming home with all these little pretty little drawings from school that say, look, mommy, look at how small this house is. Look at how good we recycle. Look at what kind of scum and parasites humans are on the earth. And look at how we need to be, reprimanded for our abuse, you know, towards the earth by giant globalist institutions, as you often see happening today in the decade of education for sustainable development, courtesy of the UN's UNESCO arm. And if I talk about secret societies and the Freemasons, who we spoke to at a University of Toronto open house back in 2007, who I've spoken to since, you know, on the streets of Dundas Square, interviewed a Freemason in a couple of videos called Talking to Freemasons About Morals and Dogma, which was also written about in the National Post. Confrontation conversation was written about in the National Post because there was a Post reporter there covering the Masonic open house. And then my conversation called Free the Masons, shot by Danny Liberty, fellow CKLN programmer, at Silsa Productions or youtube.com/supportlocalscene. You know, at the corner of Young and Dundas, where we talk about the New World Order and whether or not Masons would be open to fighting them, assuming that that Freemasonry makes good men better. And if I bring up all these issues together, will that just negate everybody's interest? If I go off too much on my own, tattoos could lead to transhumanism. You know, condos are part of stacking and packing us into compact cities. You know, what can you say in this culture? But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a clip from the banned Police State episode from Jesse Ventura's true TV show, Conspiracy Theory, to talk about the immediacy of the situation, because it's not a police state conspiracy.
All of what we've learned made it obvious. What we'd thought was a police state conspiracy is a concentration camp conspiracy, and everything is documented. I thought I'd seen enough, but Alex Jones wanted me to visit one more location.
Governor, there's just a little town up the road from here.
Madison, Georgia, on the side of Interstate 20, near train tracks, close to an airport, perfect for smuggling in people like you and me under the cover of darkness. But this place didn't need any barbed wire to keep people from getting out.
What in the hell is this?
It's hundreds of thousands of plastic coffins.
So each one of those is a separate coffin stacked on top. There's probably, what, 20 to 25 per stack. And how many stacks? Literally hundreds of them.
And you can fit four dead bodies per plastic coffin. It's basically a giant body bag.
Tens of thousands of coffins. Officially, they're plastic grave liners. 7 feet long, 3 feet deep, with lids. The company that makes them says they're just being stored for people's pre-needs. Well, who in the hell has a pre-need for this many coffins? Unless they're planning a massacre.
If they had to get rid of people or dissidents or whatever, they certainly got the caskets for it, don't they? What would their argument be, though?
The place that makes these boxes used to be a research and development arm of Hercules Incorporated. Hercules is a major defense contractor with ties to Halliburton. The feds gave $385 million to a Halliburton subsidiary to build the detention centers.
It seems everything that I'm investigating, the trail seems to lead to Halliburton all the time.
Exactly, Governor. The admitted Homeland Security contracts with those camp centers. I mean, that's admitted in mainstream news. It's Halliburton. It always goes back to Halliburton.
But it doesn't end there. These detention centers and camps are run by FEMA. The federal agency that's supposed to help us in crisis is ready to round us up. FEMA already has the country divided into 10 regions, and they match almost perfectly with the Council of Governors' 10 sectors.
And so these are sitting here waiting for the implement of martial law, possibly.
And remember, this is right outside Atlanta, Georgia, where the Centers for Disease Control is based.
Alex Jones was about to fit the last piece of this puzzle, how the concentration camp plan would be put into action.
I'm going to give you some of these secret government documents that we've gotten from where they admit that they've got stockpiles for the biological pandemic. This is the perfect pretext to bring in martial law using the fear generated by a pandemic.
They'd start a pandemic as an excuse. An excuse to put away anybody who gets in the way of their power grab. The feds would trigger a nationwide outbreak of deadly disease. The bodies would pile up, the military would pile in, and the concentration camp gates would open.
We have government documents wherein the CDC is preparing for mass pandemics, hundreds of thousands or even millions dead. There's this massive preparation going on for plagues and literal megadeth.
Megadeth. Well, that's one way to put it. It makes you wonder about all the flus that spread like wildfire, how quickly they kill, all the outbreaks and vaccinations, and how simple it would be for the elites to put the plan into action. and we may have arrived just in time to expose the evidence. In the hours after we left, workers began hustling to get the coffins out of there.
Enemy of the state. Enemy of the state.
Yeah, let's go. Microphone check, I make them all bounce. Every teller in Bank of America, make them all count. You gon' need the whole staff to add up the amount it's gonna take to pay me off, to keep me out your house, to keep me in my zone so that I don't zone out. I'm rich and poor like Zone 4, thoughts is deep like Don't Know. Walk with me like Old Foe, cross the street, us goes go. I don't rap, I hotly rain, cause my flow is so cold. I am on my they are on they, oh no. I am really in here, they ain't real like Soul Glow. Don't you know I'm so show, them niggas got no glow. Find a master for you can come back into the dojo. Lupe got his mind right, nigga this is my mic. And I've come to take it all back like Miller High Life. He must not be tied tight, back against the wall. He will throw a ball like he playing highlight. I'll do the register, you just get them fries right. I don't trust America, after watching Side Guys. Take a look at my stripes, chest look like a tiger arm. And I'm hot as Tiger Bomb, fire like a five alarm. And it's set to tire bond, get your firefighter on. I ain't worried about you hoes, I don't even need to roll. I turn down your ex like, how you put your tires on. Once I get these tires on, I buy a bomb and tie it on. And ride just around the entire song, find a line to drive it on. Parking it a metaphor, wait for it, the timer's on. You can turn your hydrants on, I'll just turn my wipers on. Wipe it off and wipe me down, but don't forget about my bomb.
And we're back, folks. A little clip from True TV's Jesse Ventura show, Conspiracy Theory. Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minnesota, former wrestler, actor in the movie Predator and others. And you know what they're doing? I don't know if you've heard of this out there, but they're actually deleting episodes of the True TV Conspiracy Theory show from people's PVRs, from people's digital recording boxes. They're deleting episodes, so you can save them as you're allowed to with your PVR, and they're your episodes, and the cable companies are going in and wiping them out because they do not want this stuff on TV. So there's proof there, and that Police State episode is incredible. I saw it. If you haven't seen the Jesse Ventura TV show, Conspiracy Theory, I strongly recommend it, because things like this are happening. Terror mania grips U.S., PSYOPs justify bloated budgets, from Jason Douglas at Infowars.com. Around the country, quote, regular people are coming face-to-face with terror, mall invasions, chemical warfare, and deadly explosive test infrastructure security, and causing mass hysteria. Of course, all of these were pedestrian events overhyped to justify the bloated budgets of the terror industrial security complex, but don't you know that? At Ohio University, explosive material was discovered. In Southern California, a freeway bomb was discovered. In Mayfair Mall, Milwaukee, a siege closed the mall. At Spokane, Washington's MLK Day Parade, a device was discovered in a backpack, and on and on and on. And we are going to be increasingly propagandized to be more suspicious of each other and to snitch on each other. We saw the ads on the Toronto Transit system recently, which say, keep your eyes open or whatever. In the U.S., if you see something, say something. Telescreens up at Walmart. And what is our response to this going to be? If we habitualize a weak response to this, we are screwed. We are gonna look at each other like scum because the government has trained us to. And so we've got to do a little bit better than that. And so to help us do that, I'm going to flash back again 2.5 years ago to the March on Ottawa, which was on September 11th, 2008, when tons and tons of Canadians were together. This is a video by Ottawa Fro, proud Canadian truther and a proud Canadian period, because this is among the most patriotic things you can do. What are our options at this time in history? You want to just wait until it all goes to pot and then try and run into the hills? Leave your condo and run into the hills? What are you going to do with your wife and kids? Hell, what are we going to do? We don't know how to do anything. You know, my buddy and I used to joke that while our fathers could fix a storm door and use a pair of pantyhose to repair a carburetor, you know, we couldn't do that. We didn't know how to do that. And so if things all went to crap, we'd be kind of screwed. So our best option is to stop things from going to crap, is to give Canadians, your fellow Canadians, a chance to react to this, a chance to protect their health, their wealth, and relationships. Protect their health by getting more informed and making better choices about vitamins, minerals, nutrients, and avoiding big pharmacide products. Wealth choices by investing in silver, because precious metals and commodities are going up while our physical dollars are going down in value. To protect our relationships by talking about how men and women have been trained to compete against each other and the history of that and the history of education and what it was designed for, so that we can resist that and so that we can support each other. You know, women keep saying, I don't need a man. Fine. Then men will say, I don't need a woman. And then guess what happens? We don't need each other. And we don't need each other. And as we don't care for each other, we don't fight for each other. And here we are. And where are we going to go? So taking you back to Ottawa Froze video from March in Ottawa 2008, a little flashback blast from the past.
There are deep problems with the official version of 9/11, and we would just ask everybody to just take a close look at the facts. Stop listening to what they're telling you on the TV.
We need the truth. We do not need believers, we need doers. We need people to take action. We need to stand up.
The effect that one person can have by going out every month. But we had 20 plus people marching on the highway through small towns and putting stuff in mailboxes, having people wander down from their front doors, down their front lawns to meet us and sign the petition.
Federal government to reopen, to open your investigation into the events of 9/11.
Investigate the death of 24 Canadians on 9/11. Re-examine the whole Afghanistan issue. Stand up, grow a pair. Stop being subservient to a White House government and start serving Canadian citizens instead of the corporate global elite.
Our job is to tell the truth.
In Afghanistan, I've spoken with several of them, and they basically say all they're doing over there is sitting around collecting dust and watching the opium trade in the area go on by unfettered.
I joined the bus and traveled with them across the country, town to town, and I can tell you that we are not alone here. There are people in every restaurant and truck stop and small town that have awareness of this.
We're asking for the media, the mainstream media, CBC right here, just to tell the truth.
It is incredibly important to understand that we as Canadians have an obligation to our fellow Canadians who put on a uniform and who are supposed to defend this country. We have an obligation to keep them from getting killed while destroying a country for globalized transnational corporations trying to steal oil and so on.
Our soldiers over in Afghanistan at this day fighting a false war based on lies in 911.
I believe the official version. I didn't believe it from day one. I started looking into it, and I just could not believe my eyes when those two buildings came down the way they did. I did not believe the fact that those planes could be hijacked and flying around for a couple of hours with no intercepts. I said, there's something wrong with this picture.
Saying that Osama bin Laden isn't even guilty for 9/11, we have to re-examine why we're in Afghanistan, and it's all based off of 9/11. So
So I'd like everybody to sign that petition.
Please investigate the events of September 11th, because that's what started it all.
Your member of parliament, what's their stance on 9/11? They'll ignore you, I'm sure.
But there are over 2,800 people that were murdered on September the 11th. Those people are screaming out for justice. Those people are trying to tell the rest of the world that it was not Osama bin Laden that blew them buildings down. Those people are trying to tell the rest of the world that it was an inside job by the Bush administration, and it was backed by the CIA and the Mossad and the SAS and the ISI. And they said, we need somebody to get out there and tell this and explore this and research this and tell the world who really killed us.
'11 is the quintessential event of our generation. Not only that, we all participated in it. We all watched it on television. They made a little snuff film for us and made us watch it live. We're not going to go away after that. That's our event. We all own it. And if we don't take this event and recognize that it's the one thing we have to use against the global elite and the people who are planning these things, if we don't take that opportunity and recognize that it's our tool, we've created it up from the ground up, out of leaderless movements, out of time and effort and dedication and absolute commitment to the one thing that unites humanity all over the world, and that is truth and love and justice.
Do you support a new Canadian investigation into 9/11? Well, you have to put facts on the table, and if there's facts that, you know, haven't been clearly laid out for Canadians, they need to be.
We have scientists, physicists, we have ex-FBI, CIA agents all on our side who are telling us that 9/11 was an inside job. It could not have been anything other than an inside job.
We have to be willing to learn. We have to be willing to teach.
You don't want us, they're going to hear from their friends. And then somebody else, and then it's not going to look so crazy that 9/11 was an inside job, because that's what the evidence points to.
We're going to keep talking to people, keep getting the word out. And it's like Pandora's box. Once you hear about this stuff, you don't forget it. You don't forget that you heard that there was something fishy besides the official story.
Not only were there Americans, but there were people from 82 different countries that were murdered. If we must appeal to the nationalism, the first question I have standing on Parliament Hill is, why? Why hasn't the Harper government, that basically is the twin brother to George Bush, why hasn't this Harper regime, why haven't they called for an immediate investigation for the murder of 24 Canadian citizens? Why?
There's a change coming, and you guys are the change!
So the truth movement is now older than the hippie movement ever was. It's lasted longer. I stopped and thought about that. Yeah. We've lasted longer. We're not going away. We're part of the culture. We're part of the zeitgeist. Everywhere you look, there we are. 9/11 was an inside job.
Here, every empire in the past was built on lies, misery, and untruths. Fall. Canada will not fall.
The only party that's on your side.
We're not going to stand for the taking of our country based on a pack of lies about 9/11. Okay? We are patriots. We are Canadians who care deeply about our country.
You're in a town that doesn't have a truth movement right now. You're not doing your job. You have to be the one to do it. Nobody's going to do it for you.
Don't you think if you choose somebody five times, you should get it? That's what I think.
And we're back, folks. That was, again, a clip from Ottawa Fro, March on Ottawa 2008. And you can see how many patriotic Canadians were hitting the streets and were actively trying to encourage other Canadians, too. Now, it's become less fashionable in our culture to do that. And so that's something that we really, really have to reverse, because we have to understand why and how it's being made less fashionable. And there's many, many ways to distract us. And, of course, the Obama campaign, which I referenced earlier in the show from the Jon Stewart show, where he appeared, was a classic example of that. Bush, when he was in office, he accrued powers in the presidency that made him a dictator. He could pass executive orders to do whatever the hell he wanted, even after the Democrats took control over Congress in the midterm elections in 2006. Bush could still do whatever the hell he wanted. And yet Obama takes over those powers, takes over that office, and somehow he can't do anything, even with a Democratic Congress and a Senate and the support of the media and the corporations and the public and special interest groups. He couldn't do anything, because here's what's really happening. Under Bush, they passed a ton of legislation. They passed a ton of, and this is in America, but it affects Canada too, as part of the North American Union, the harmonization of our countries and policies. You can see the equalized dollar as the most visible example of that on a daily basis. But in a nutshell, they passed a bunch of legislation, the John Warren Defense Authorizations Bill, the Patriot Act 2, the PDD 51, the Presidential Decision Directive 51, that creates a shadow government, or that authorizes a shadow government to take over the Council of Governors, where 10 governors split up the America into 10 different regions. And Canada will be subsumed as part of this because of our security arrangements with the United States. So they passed the legislation under Bush, and now early under Obama especially, they are testing this legislation. The swine flu pandemic in 2009 was less about the pandemic, because it fizzled out. Everyone could tell it was a fraud. And it was more about testing their systems. How will hospitals react? How will the fire department? How will the police department? How will the bureaucracy react? Who will react? Who will question this? Who do we got to get rid of to launch this for real later? G20 martial law was the exact same thing. Which cops will go along with this? Which ones won't? Which military? Which intelligence? Which members of the bureaucracy? You know, how will the people react to it? These are things that they want to know, and these are things they want to work on for a full planned implemented rollout sooner than later. So what can we do? Well, we can inform each other about things that are not just issues like 9/11, which is incredible. Incredibly important. Go to AE911truth.org, AE911truth.org, to see 1,400 architects and engineers question this from a pure physics perspective, but also modern issues that people can relate to, especially when it comes to health, especially when, according to Infowars.com, Steve Watson, man dies after house fumigated with the same fluoride compound sprayed on food in San Jose, California. So you can see how we have enough evidence. Rare mainstream news is essentially where we confirm most of this stuff. And then we share it on the internet. So I'm going to take you to a brief clip from John Young from Cryptome.org, one of the founders of WikiLeaks, to talk about the internet being reversed on these spires.
It was set up as a spying machine, as I told you on your last show. But now it's being used for reverse spying. But the people who set it up, as you know, was the military, and they set it up to induce people to join up, because it's a very good way to surveil an entire population around the world. But now the people who are actually running it, that they hired to run it, are now reversing the panopticon.
And this is crucially important because the changes are happening at a ridiculously rapid rate. You can tell right now it's a fairly slow news cycle. It's actually not. It's a fairly slow news cycle in terms of what they're giving us and giving the public. I got a copy of the Metro here. Picture yourself in a Sears travel vacation on the cover as an advertisement. On the inside, nuptials, how to get married in 30 days. Winterlicious, Metro has your backstage pass. Bollywood's Oscars, a hooray for Bollywood. Dalton McGuinty led celebration in Toronto on June 23rd and 25th of this year, being advertised now for some reason. No wonder so many people hate their boss. Problem managers noted by majority of HR people, one-third of companies tolerate them if they deliver. Bosses from hell are, quote, big or huge problem in Canada, say nearly three-quarters of human resources executives. This is the type of thing we're supposed to focus on right now. Premier won't fight for his view. Premier Dalton McGuinty is giving up on the battle to stop new high-rise condominiums from blocking the view of the Ontario legislature. There you go. Riders get their say on bus route cuts. TTC to hold public meetings next week in different areas of the city. Probably managed with the Delphi technique to sort of herd us into conclusions they want us to arrive at. Get us to use groupthink by having a couple of strong-willed people there who push certain agendas. And the Delphi technique is really simple. You get people on left side of the room, right side of the room, front and back, and maybe the speaker, moderator of it, actually definitely the speaker, and the speaker refers to certain ideas, and the people on the left and right echo those ideas, and then everyone in the room, when they turn their heads to look at them, sees everyone else looking at them and seemingly agreeing, and so they agree too. And that's how groupthink's manufactured. And so much of our opposition to this is co-opted on things like Facebook and YouTube comments and message boards, where we're arguing with nobody about nothing, or with people we don't know and have a relationship with and aren't trying to build a relationship with, because we're a lot more prickish online. And these mediums themselves, if you look at something like Facebook, if you look at our positive thinking new age culture, you know, we're just encouraged to make each other happy. So you can post something serious, you can post something substantial, but most of the time you'll just be given credit for it, like good job, that was neat, or even better, you should post something happy and optimistic, like a cheery happy video, even about this sort of thing, saying, you know, we can rise, the people will do well. But that doesn't lead to actually planning to engage in things. And I was holding meetings in my house in January and February of 2009 for 8 weeks every Saturday. The goal was from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m., save 90% of the population from being murdered. And from 8:30 p.m. to midnight, punch and cookies. And so I had a bunch of fellow truth seekers over to my place. We were discussing a number of these issues. And then later on in the summer, with the help of Mark Savory, his brilliant table, his brilliant DVDs, his tireless perseverance, and several other members of Toronto Truth Seekers, we had a successful response to the H1N1 vaccine campaign on the streets of Toronto every Saturday for a few months. And it was amazing. Nobody ever came back to us and said we were wrong. Nobody ever came back to us and took a flyer or a DVD and came back and said, you guys are wrong. Overwhelmed, hospitals grapple with flu wave. A little more than 20% of Ontarians have received the vaccines, says the minister. Uptake is usually around 35%. And there you go. I'm not saying it was just us at Toronto Truth Seekers, but it was definitely people who were active on these issues. And one reason is that 12,000 members of our bureaucracy, 6,000 CSIS agents and others, have been sworn to secrecy. Mainstream news reports recently on this, CTV News and others. So I'm going to take you to another clip from John Young from Cryptome.org, talking about why politicians are sworn into secrecy to preserve their silence.
You hit it right on the head. These are often ways to boost morale within an organization, is to declare something secret and let you in on it. By the way, as they do this to presidents too, as they read them into the secrecy world, and shall I go on with this?
Yeah, continue.
Yeah, is that, you know, because you know we have all these people outside government saying we got to do this, we got to do that, and then they go inside and suddenly they don't say that anymore. It's usually because they've been read into the secrecy pearl where they're under lifetime threat to never disclose it, and they suddenly shut up. It's a one-way street, and you never back out once you're in. That's why there are no ex-spies. Every spy has lifelong secrecy built into their blood, and that's why some of them are out there thinking about what they're revealing, because they're unconstrained. But mainly is that it's a good way to make a living. Being inside the secrecy world is an awfully good thing. Of course, it started when the first church was set up, when the first kingdom was set up. So it's been around for a while, Alex. It's secrecy is a narcotic against them. And the biggest threat to the secret keepers are people who are outside that world, not the other secret keepers in other countries or other churches, but those who are outside who might blow the whistle on this.
That's right, those who are outside who might blow the whistle on this, and that means us. Because a lot of these people have been sworn in to secrecy. As I mentioned, there we go. I'll even read you an article about it. Lifelong secrecy vow gags thousands of federal officials, according to official records. And this is from the Toronto Star from a day ago. And again, they're just telling us this. Ottawa. Newly obtained records show more than 12,000 current and former federal intelligence officials must take the secrets of their most sensitive work to the grave. The number of people, quote, permanently bound to secrecy is more than double the figure expected 7 years ago when the government began putting provisions in place after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And you wonder why these are so important here. Those affected cannot discuss past and current confidential sources, targets of intelligence operations, names of spies, military attack plans, encryption, or other means of protecting information. The Canadian press obtained records indicating the officials bound to secrecy are spread among more than two dozen agencies and departments. And that includes inside our bureaucracy as well, so do keep that in mind. Back to the Metro here for a second. And we'll continue. Bollywood star excited about T.O. Joe Fresh coming to town. Student files lawsuit over alleged sex assault. This is, again, going about, you know, 5-6 pages in the Metro here. Angry father rips Ottawa and Mexico over rape probe. RRSP's fall off, Young Canadians radar. Okay, we're not interested in those. Vatican defends smoking gun letter about whether or not to report abuse. And it's amazing. They're trying to normalize pedophilia right now. There was a really interesting photo shoot you can see at VigilanteCitizen.com of a bunch of like 5 and 6 year old girls dressed in heavy, heavy makeup and posed very suggestively, just like models with the same sort of wanton come hither, I'm all pissy look. And so that's part and parcel of it. And I think selling it through the church and through sort of normalizing it, where we sort of accept that a bunch of priests who are supposed to represent the best in us are doing the worst sort of things, is a way of corrupting us, and hence the revelations about all this, as long as we accept them. It's not like there's a mass exodus from the Catholic Church or a mass demand by their followers to sort of, expose this problem wherever they are, because that's not the way these things work. And yet, the application of values to information is the info war. It is not about arguing with people. It's not about messing them up. It's not about just being right for being right's sake. It's about trying to find information that can help people today. You know, you have so many people out there. A woman I met recently suffering Alzheimer's disease, my father's friend's wife, very, very lovely woman, but they're on tons and tons of pills because they believe in that model, and I'm pretty sure that was a partial cause of that. Other friends' children who are really quiet, watching TV with the folks. Folks aren't into them. They aren't into the folks. It's a feedback loop that results in a lack of interest in each other, between children and parents. And then in the bigger picture, the people who are engineering this recession also destroyed our manufacturing base and are now socializing us to think that it's natural for us to fall, the West to fall, Canada, America. You know, we'll say our banking system's better regulated and we're a commodities-based economy, so we'll do a bit better in this. But, you know, we are getting a spillover of the propaganda that's elevating China ahead of us. And yet China is a repressive, authoritarian, communist, fascist government that censors and that runs a criminal police state. And yet we'll go to Russia today for a bit on how we're being affected by this propaganda.
I went into Burger King with my son, and I saw, yeah, but the...
For others, China elicits feelings of inferiority. According to the Pew Research Center, 47% of Americans think China is the world's leading economic power, while only 31% think America is. That's certainly the opinion among students at Millinocket School in Maine, which will welcome paying Chinese students to close its budget gap next year.
I think the Chinese are going to be total shock. I think of like high tech and way more advanced than us, like 10 times more money and like in a better society. And then you look at us and we're like poor and have nothing.
As Hu Jintao tours the U.S. Capitol, American officials are eager to quell fears about what a rising China could mean for the world's only superpower. Still, some analysts say that the United States should be focusing on what it can learn from China rather than merely containing it.
China knows how to develop. They're doing it. We are spending, borrowing, and consuming rather than saving and investing for the future.
A sentiment echoed by many we spoke to.
There's a lot to learn in terms of productivity, organization of resources, and also having a culture that values hard work more than our own.
I think they're trying to develop their economy and share some of the wealth with the folks.
Economically, politically, militarily, China is on the rise.
And that's right, folks. They are elevating China in this, and that is because China is supposed to take over from America as the policeman of the world. And this is a plan written up in the 1500s by John Dee, the Brightish Empire, as he spelled it, B-R-Y-tish Empire. And it was basically a plan based around the notion of free trade. We will force other countries to accept this system of free trade, and we won't allow them to put barriers or protectionist tariffs on their products to preserve their economy and their culture. And so we are now entering the latter stages of that plan. And the best thing we can do is give people a sense of history, a sense of context, pass on some flyers, DVDs, and normalize this, and think about things like the March on Ottawa on July 1st on Canada Day. As we see things get worse, as we see more crises, as we see more random weird things, like an article in The Guardian telling us to expect aliens and a river in British Columbia turning fluorescent green, we're going to get thrown tons and tons of propaganda, and we're going to be encouraged to say the new iPhone is really cool, and we're going to be encouraged to channel our energies into just getting our frustrations out. in non-productive or fairly non-productive ways, commenting on YouTube videos, you know, blurping and blurping on Facebook, and retarding our ability to communicate with each other and plan to press our politicians for better policy. And so definitely something to look forward to, because, and here's another article by Paul Joseph Watson, 10 ways in which China humiliates the United States. And you can see more and more of this being exposed by the independent media at places like InfoWars.com, InfoWars.com. Bank giant Goldman rewards staff with 11.4 billion euros in bonuses. JP Morgan got another $14 billion in bonuses. The financial sector, based on their Ponzi scheme economy, is still doing really, really well in this. And yet, according to ConspiracyCulture.com, linking to a Global Newswire press release, Positive ID Corporation completes development of temperature-sensing microchip. And we are increasingly getting normalized to accept the chip and the credit cards. Oh, does it have the chip? Does that one come with the chip? You can see people saying that, hear people saying that. And so all the things that were talked about for years are now coming to fruition. And as they get introduced into our culture, can we introduce alternate explanations for them so more people can understand, oh yeah, I see that. I see that everywhere. I see the cameras everywhere. Now I get what they're for. I see the chip everywhere. Now I get what they're for. I see people having to thumbprint at the Marche Mövenpick as cashiers to sign into the register. I see what that's for, and on and on and on. And so on and so forth. And the budget and the debt. Keep in mind that the monetary system is based on fraud, and we do have to expose that before we agree to letting our country pay it back by giving up our sovereignty completely. But that's enough for me, folks. Monsignor Bill Watson is here for your four-hour jazz bungee experience, so I'm going to let him take over in just a sec. Before I go, I would like to recommend certain websites for you to check out. My website is whatyouwanttobelievein.com, whatyouwanttobelievein.com, because I do believe you want to believe in the idea that we can do something about this and not just accept sort of worse and worse news and more slaps to the face from our bureaucracy, our political system, and our media, as well as a reduction in our living standards with the rising prices that we can see everywhere. So whatyouwanttobelievein.com, marchinottawa.blogspot.com, also infowars.com, great place to go, naturalnews.com, mercola.com, another great place to go, vigilantcitizen.com for an excellent article on Black Swan, and again, articles on the normalization of pedophilia in our culture, something very dangerous, henrymakow.com. There's some excellent articles there by readers of henrymakow.com who've written in and talked about their experiences in battling our social conditioning in their search for love. And we're all looking for love, so if we spread a little love, who the hell knows? Maybe we'll find it. And a little love would be a little info to help people improve their lives, their health, wealth, and relationships. VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forms. Don't just let your kids get shot. Pay a notary $25 to certify. This is official, a legal government document based on the Ontario 1997 Immunization of Pupils Act, and then get them to co-sign that, and then put it in your kid's school folder. Bang, they're not shot, and they won't get shot by a doctor either, because nobody wants to risk a lawsuit. Fluoridealert.org for the dangers of fluoride. And locally, press4truth.ca, press4truth.ca, great journalism company, Into the Fire, a new film about the G20 martial law coming out soon. ConspiracyCulture.com, book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Great place to stop, great place to get a gift for somebody and get stuff for yourself to get more informed, or get a t-shirt. Show off the fact that you love liberty and let other people know that you're one of the people who's down for the cause and down for a cause. Toronto Street News, a newspaper out there sold by the homeless. It's cold out there. Flip them enough for a coffee so they can get warm and get yourself some good info. TorontoTruthSeekers.com, co-signing David Long's petition at TruthActionOttawa.org. Where you can sign a petition for 9/11. He was a witness to the molten metal in the 9/11 attacks, working in New York as a Canadian. And so he's being very courageous in collecting petitions from fellow Canadians. When you see people who are the point man on this, you see people like Alex Jones, like David Long, like many, many others across Canada and around the world, and you realize that you can at least speak up a little bit and share some info at your own choosing, and be tactical about it based on what's happening today and what people are interested in and what will resonate with them in the culture. And many, many more great places. Toronto, G20Exposed.com, and for another great film on the G20. Let's keep in mind something, folks. Nothing's going to change our world if we don't want it to. Nothing's going to change it for the worse anyway, and we can try and do something to make that happen. I am out of here. It's been a great Thursday. It's cold out there. Take care of yourselves and each other, and peace out.